Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reigns.
I'm Mark Edge.
For another third hour, what can we ever find to talk about in all this time? Well, it helps to be.
I'm sure we'll find plenty.
It helps that we're based in the. Well, you're based elsewhere. But I'm based in the center of the universe. And that's the center of the Christian nationalism universe. And that is the hope, at least, of. Former General Michael Flynn, former national security for something, security advisor for President Trump for something like 17 days or 16 days or a presidential blink of the eye, if you will. But he's been able to keep busy promoting Christian nationalism going. Last year was the big push year for it, and he got a lot of coverage both in being able to travel around the country and speak to a lot of groups that were receptive to him. Also, PBS Frontline did a documentary about him. And towards the latter part of the hour-long documentary, the last 15, 20 minutes of it, they focused on Sarasota. We have a place here called The Hollow, which is where aspiring Christian nationalists, aspiring Proud Boys, aspiring Patriot Front people, they go, and there's those
FBI agents?
What?
FBI agents?
There might be some of those there, but they don't.
I just figure that I just figure the Patriot Front and the Proud Boys, those are just fronts for the
FBI.
Well,
they don't wear the FBI t-shirts if they are there. And
well, they, and rarely do they.
It's also supposedly a great spot for weddings, the Hollow down in Venice, Florida.
I have no idea what you're talking about, to be honest.
Well, that's okay.
And I live.
It's a wonderful.
My mom lives there too.
It's a special place where you can send your child to be isolated, not forever, just for lessons of patriotism, and they will teach children as young as 6 year olds to handle weaponry, guns in their range, shooting range there. And
good old days in public school.
Gun safety is important. But
did you have any kind of shooting clubs when you were in school? You were in school in the 60s.
But I remember walking up our down our streets in grammar school with our carrying our BB guns and stuff.
Yeah, I did that in the 80s.
I remember when they cleared the field at the end of the dead-end street that I lived on it was going to be for just a farm of all places, and now it's a retirement village. But back at that time when we were much less densely populated, it was just going to be a farm in the middle of Bradenton. As the tractors were mowing down the field, there were some good old boys, and young good old boys, but as in like teenagers and 20-somethings, riding around in the back of a pickup behind the tractor. They weren't part of the tractor contractor to do this, but they just took it upon themselves to go out with their pickup and their guns, and from the back of the moving pickup, they would try and shoot the rabbits that would come running out of the field where the tractor was mowing through, and this was less than 100 yards from homes. So I've needed some instruction on gun safety, but I don't think they would have listened. But anyway,
but I can tell you that just earlier this year, some people were less than 100 yards from they're authorized to be there by the Manatee County government, the government you're talking about, to be shooting ducks near the Audubon Island in the Sarasota Bay. And You know, that's fine too. So it's not like guns aren't getting used within 100 yards of residential areas in Manatee County this year.
Okay. Well.
But it's a good story.
I it was less than 100 yards from the grammar school kids that were out there with their bow and arrows trying to hit the rabbits that didn't get hit by the gunshot. The good old days.
Sounds like fun time had my all.
As Michael Flynn would tell you about when he was telling you about Christian nationalism, I think one of his big money lines in his speeches are, one nation under God, right? So there must be one religion over the nation. I don't think that was ever printed on the anything in the Constitution. But
yeah, that's taking even the revisionist history one step further. I don't know when one nation under God was added in any of these circumstances. The Pledge of Allegiance wasn't really even adopted until the 20th century.
1960s, so, I believe.
Yeah. And the guy who wrote it, by the way, National Socialist. The original salute to it is this thing that looks like a Nazi salute. You know, instead of hand over your heart. It's all very, very interesting. But our founding fathers, some of them, like Thomas Jefferson, was a deist. He wouldn't even be considered a Christian by, you know, himself. He rewrote the New Testament and took out all the miracles. You know, like, no, I don't think that that was the idea. Plus, I do think that God can transcend a religion. So, personally, I believe, and it seems like I'm backed up by some level of history, that the God of Israel, the God of the Jews, the God of the Christians, and, wait for it, the God of Muhammad, are all the same guy, the same person, the same entity, whatever you
all
wish to
say. All part of the Judeo-Christian Abrahamic tradition.
Right. And I'll even go farther as to say that, you know, in my belief system, God is all of the gods that everybody believes in. But, you know.
Well we're going to get into a little digression, but this is something that just came up. Church I go to also has a podcast where they talk a little bit about the sermon. And by fundamentalist standards, and they're not a fundamentalist church, they're the opposite. But fundamentalists would think it's their Christianity is heresy. But they openly talk about what you don't know and what, you know, and all the different theories that have come out about different parts of the Bible. The founding pastor has a doctorate from a Christian university, but then he went and got his doctorate from Florida State University too. So he knows ancient Greek, ancient Hebrew. He also German from the period of the Reformation. He's read the original documents.
You want to be able to read that Geneva Bible besides just the King James.
Well, and then the pastor that just joined a couple years ago, who is sort of like, because the founding pastor's my age, the other pastor's in his 40s, so I think he's sort of being, it's a bad word to say groomed these days, but sort of groomed to take over. And on the podcast, and tell me how, we're totally digressing here. They were talking about the story of Adam and Eve, and the 40-something pastor said, you know, in English translations of the Bible, it almost always says that the serpent tempted him with the tree of knowledge, which would give them the power to know the difference between good and evil. Knowledge of
right.
good and evil.
Right. It's the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
The pastor said that he has a rabbi friend who is a scholar of ancient Hebrew, and he says that's a poor translation. That the real translation of that, because they already knew what was right and wrong, because they knew it was wrong to go in the garden. That
the
real translation should read is that the fruit would give you the power to decide what is good and evil, which makes that story a whole lot different. Any thoughts?
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to have to spend a lot of time thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the difference between a story about rebellious children and a story about children that want to seize power for themselves. But well,
yep, fascinating
stuff. We'll revisit that sometime. But
well,
maybe we'll get him.
I guess what I would say
is the show and tell us about it.
Great.
All right. So, Christian nationalism. Who's for it, Michael Flynn? He was, but he couldn't help himself.
Well, let's define it before we go any further. Christian nationalism. What do you think that means? I've heard it used, and it just sounds to me like the people that claim for themselves Christianity separating themselves from somebody else. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. But I've also read in people that have done greater research than me that when they talk to people in the new Christian nationalist movement, many of them say that, well, they don't have a relationship with Christ. Okay, well, that's something. Then others say they're not even really following the teachings of Jesus. And others say they're not even sure about the divinity of Christ. What they are, they call themselves, are cultural Christians. So now that's...
I've used this term for a long time. I've used that term for over a decade to describe myself as a cultural Christian.
It gives you a big open door to define the others, the non-Christian nationalists, and the non-cultural Christians by yours. You can make a... You can draw your circle around your people, and you can keep a lot of people outside the circle when you do it that way. But Michael Flynn,
well, perhaps. I mean, what I do it is that I, you know, what I'm trying to do is separate myself from every kooky idea that anybody who's called themselves a Christian has, you know, had heretofore. You know, I don't want to, because, you know, that Christian word means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And that's why I say, well, look, you know, when I think about Christianity, I think about monotheism. That's generally where I'm at. I think about a God that, you know, rewards goodness and or has created a universe that rewards goodness and punishes evil. At least I hope so. It seems like the politicians get away with a lot, though. You know, I don't know what they mean when they say this Christian nationalism. But I kind of feel like I know who they are. To me, Christianity and nationalism are two different things. If you're a Christian, you're hunting for the kingdom of God. If you're a nationalist, you're hunting for the kingdom of lying, cheating politicians that will kill on a whim if it benefits them. And those aren't the same thing.
No. Well... And you might also be, when you're talking about Christian nationalism, be talking about someone who would say that they blame Jews for their own deportations to Auschwitz concentration camp. And he would
Been different than Martin Luther, the guy who founded Protestantism, was famously pretty anti-Semitic in his talk. So anti-Semitism and in modern Christianity aren't exactly separated. Please go ahead.
Well, Michael Flynn, the first Trump advisor, also suggested that mothers were complicit in handing over their young children to go on trains to Auschwitz. Now,
if you believe that, like, some people in the government believe that the United States tax system is voluntary. And if you believe that, then you would say handing over your baby to a brown shirt is voluntary. Just saying.
Maybe we should actually look at what we're talking about than looking for imaginary people that would say handing over your baby to brown shirts or...
No, I'm talking about the real people that say that...
quotes from them, but I do have quotes from Michael Flynn, and I have actual audio from Michael Flynn. And it's the same audio that the Auschwitz Museum slammed him for. In a recent speech, Michael Flynn, the Christian nationalist, suggested mothers were complicit in handing over their young children to go on trains to Auschwitz. Any mother who would be told, give me your child, give me your baby, we're going to separate, we're just not going to put you in a club coach car. We're going to stuff you like a sardine into a train. There weren't any guards. They were doing it voluntarily. Well, Michael Flynn has a lot to say. Let's start with how he set this all up, because I don't know who we're at war with, but Michael Flynn says we're at war, and the leadership needs to get ready for war.
We are in the valley. America is in the valley of the shadow of death. And so this is biblical. This is biblical. All of you pastors, ministers, imams, rabbis, if there's any priests in here, you are supposed to be leaders. Okay? You are supposed to be leaders.
Probably a surprise to the rabbis and the imams that they were supposed to be biblical leaders, but we'll let Michael Flynn fill that in for him when he speaks to them directly.
One thing, by the way,
make the church I'm talking about probably a little heretical to some other churches is that they say a lot of people get in the trap of worshiping a book as opposed to worshiping God. And
I find that to be the biggest problem with modern Christianity, is that somehow that, you know, a book, as the translation of a translation of a translation, is held aloft as the unerring word of God, every dot and tittle, and that somehow God has stopped speaking at the end of the first century, or the beginning of the first century. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, also in this last Sunday sermon, the third pastor, the one that only has the master's degree but knows ancient Greek, actually did his own translation of three verses from the Bible for part of the sermon, which made me think when they announced that, well, thank you, Pastor Brett, for doing this translation. I thought, oh my gosh, they're going to be coming with the pitchforks and tiki lamps after this one. But Michael Flynn, we're in the valley of death. And that was another thing. I actually asked the founding pastor's son this week. I said, what do you think about the fact that there's a church that's this outside the fundamentalist scope, and you've got another person saying that this was founded here, and they're also trying to found Sarasota as the capital of Christian nationalism? He goes, well, I wasn't even aware of it until you told me about it. So a lot of things below the radar around here. But Michael Flynn, so we're in the valley of death. You got to be a leader. What else does Michael Flynn have to say about this?
As a commander, as a leader of military formations, from every single level, up from platoon of 30 to an organization of 20,000. You know, it gets harder and harder the higher you go up to be able to get out in front of the whole organization and embrace them and give them a big hug and say, I love you, we're about to go to war, okay? Or we're going to go train for war. And right now, we're at war. We are at war. We're at war with that, what Jason laid out to you. We're at war with a justice system. We are at war with the justice system. And, you know, and I joke sometimes and I go, is there any FBI agents in here? You know, leave now. But, you know, I want to have a life.
We're at war. He referenced somebody that, a politician, I think he's speaking at an elected rally or something like that. Maybe not. We're at a war, but against them. Them, you know, I mean, I heard Justice Department maybe and FBI maybe. But somehow he brings us all back to the Auschwitz. And here he goes getting started on that.
Well, what's the old internet rule? If you, the first person to bring up the Hitler wins, loses, or whatever?
Well, I don't think he ever mentioned
it. Now it doesn't seem to be that way.
All right.
Well, come on. Well, close enough. It's the Holocaust.
But any mother who would be told, give me your child. Okay, give me your child. Your baby. And we're going to separate you. And we're not just going to put you into a, you know, club coach car, right, where there's buffet service. We're going to stuff you like a sardine into a train. And early on, they really didn't know. They thought that they were being taken out of war zones to be taken care of. And then it didn't take long before the word got out because people started to escape. Some great stories about it. And they started to realize, hey, they're actually taking you there and they're doing some really sick things.
Okay, so now he's starting to get on this history of, you know, they didn't know where they were going, then they didn't know where they're going, and then they were like, going. They were going. And then, give me your babies. Where did that come, Michael?
But I'm thinking to myself, because I asked the guy, the very, very astute historian that was walking myself and a couple others through, I'm asking him, so tell me, what were the rules for the guards? Because there wasn't many guards. But there were thousands of people. Maybe they're members of your congregation. Maybe it's you. That just said, okay, here's my child, and get on the train. Talk about being in the valley of the shadow of death. Now that's in the 30s, in the 1930s. That's not even 100 years ago.
So there were no guards. Isn't that amazing? Where does he get that?
Well, I think he's trying to say there's few guards. This is what I would say to that is that prisons around the world have far, far, far fewer guards than they have prisoners. Maybe that's what he's trying to get across in this rambling sermon?
Well, maybe, but the guards probably had guns. And I don't think the Jewish people that were rounded up were allowed to bring their guns with them.
Well, just remember this, everybody, when they start asking you to give up your guns, because the first thing they did was ask people to give up their guns.
Well, certain people.
Does it make a difference if it's all or some?
It makes a difference to the person who has the gun.
Well, those that are in power, the group that is the in-group, rarely cares whether or not they have guns. It's they care about whether the other groups, the out-groups, have guns.
All right. Well, that's the last word for this segment. We'll wrap it up on the other side of these messages. You're listening to Brains and Ed.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. President Biden is warning residents of Southern California to be ready for Hurricane Hillary.
I urge everyone in the path of this storm to take precautions and listen to the guidance from state and local officials.
Hillary remains a powerful Category 4 hurricane in the Pacific, and it's prompted the first ever tropical storm watch for the region. It's expected to land over the weekend, possibly Sunday, as a tropical storm. A Marine student dies in a training exercise.
The Marine student was assigned to the School of Infantry West at Camp Pendleton. They died in a nighttime live fire event Thursday night. Major Joshua J. Pena said in a press release that the investigation into the circumstances of the death is ongoing. I'm John Fink.
At least 1,300 people are still missing after the wildfires in the Hawaiian island of Maui, and Hawaii Governor Josh Green is among those fearing a much higher death toll. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and ExtendoVite is all natural. ExtendoVite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take ExtendoVite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network here as we wrap up today. I'm Henry Reins.
I'm Mark Edge.
And we have covered a lot of ground today. We were just finishing up with Michael Flynn and his comments about Auschwitz and the lack of guards to make the Jewish people get on the train and Jewish mothers just handing their babies over. We need to say that the Auschwitz Museum, that's not the case. The idea that there weren't any guards, that it would have been just easy to ignore that.
Well, I've heard like some musings as to what would have happened had the Jews and, you know, first off, not gone to the ghetto, but what had happened if the Jews had met this violence?
That was well before the Nazi Germany.
Right. That was before Nazi Germany?
Polish ghettos and stuff like that. There were ghettos all over around Europe, and they would lock up the Jewish people in those neighborhoods at night with chains. Not individual chains on the people, but the neighborhoods would be chained.
Yeah, I can't say, I can't speak to it, but my understanding was is that, you know, that Jews were forced into neighborhoods first, and then, you know, everything else happened. But part of one of the first things that happened was the guns were taken. What if they had met these government restrictions with guns, is what some musings have been. And I do wonder to myself, you know, it's the foresight of history, as it were, the ability to look in backwards and say, oh, well, this is what was going to happen. Because nobody who gave up their gun knew they were going to be thrown onto trains and gassed and all the other things that happened.
Well, before the trains and all that, you had Kristallnacht with the riots that broke down the Jewish businesses and ransacked homes and things like that. So there was a lot of things. And you know, in Russia you had the Jewish pogroms that, you know, persecuted them. I mean, that's been part of...
Pogroms have been around. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
But that was just a mental health issue. No, really. Come on, those were just like mental health counselors. You obviously had ideas that were contrary to what the church said, and it was obvious that the church was right, so you just needed some help seeing what was true.
Yep, and if that help came in the form of torture, so be it.
But everybody knew that the earth was flat, and your crazy ideas about the earth being round and traveling around the sun, you know, they hadn't invented Xanax, so they had to do something to help you get your mind right. All right.
Torture.
Last thing, I've told Mark on the in between these segments that I just wanted to wrap up Michael Flynn, and he just drags me right back out into the wilderness. I'm like, Mark, make straight the way for Reigns and Edge to finish this segment up with Michael Flynn and get on to talk to some other things. But I do want to point out that this is not Michael Flynn's first time going down this road. In the 2016 Hillary Clinton presidential campaign, manager suggested that Russians were behind the leak of thousands of Democratic National Committee emails. Not saying I get behind that statement, but in his response, I definitely don't think this was a wise deflection of that claim. Flynn suggested that the Jews were blaming Russia to hide their own role in the leak. He tweeted, quote, "The USSR is to blame, not any more Jews, not any more." He later said the tweet was a mistake and added his sincerest apologies for pointing the finger like that. So I'm sure he's just a misunderstood, you know, young man that's grown up.
I don't think I even understand what's been claimed here, but all right.
By me or by him?
Well, I guess by you.
I'm just saying.
What's the problem? He's like saying that the Russians did it, not the Jews. I'm not sure.
Well, that was the Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign manager claimed that. And then his first part of the tweet with an exclamation point.
Well, who are the Jews?
Czar is to blame. He's saying, like, sarcastically. And then, not anymore. Don't try and tell us that. Anyway. All right, let's get out of that.
Who are the Jews?
Yeah, I think he's deflecting the blame to the Jewish people. Not the Jewish people.
Are we talking about Israelis?
Yeah, you know, the Jewish elite that run everything that people like Michael Flynn like to talk about. Michael Flynn,
right.
Here's his own history. All right. Well, you know, you had a conversation with me. Maybe we'll get a chance to, I think we have a chance to revisit this, about the FDA and your, you know, you're very skeptical of the FDA, to say the least. Correct?
I'm skeptical of any organization that works in part of the federal government, yeah.
Okay. Well, they were at the center of a U.S. Court of Appeals, Fifth Circuit, this week. In fact, just like I believe a day or two ago, this ruling came down. And the Fifth Circuit ruled that several decisions the FDA took to make mifepristone, I probably stumbled over that pronunciation, obviously, more broadly.
It's just a made-up word anyway.
What?
These pharmaceutical words are crazy. They're just a bunch of made-up noises anyway.
Abortion pill medicine were broadly available and were illegal. The ruling is...
Is this an abortion pill or is this a pregnancy prevention pill? Because there's some...
Yeah, but let's try and get through the ruling. The ruling is paused from taking effect until the Supreme Court makes a decision about the case. So they know, obviously, this case is going to go to the Supreme Court for a final decision. There's probably either contrary appeals court decision coming or already been made. Mifepristone, I think I said it better that time, is used in combination with another drug called misoprostol, and is the most common method to terminate a pregnancy in the U.S. Currently, it's used up to 70 days into the pregnancy. A federal appeals court...
70 days.
Pardon me?
70 days.
Yes. That's, you know, after that, I don't think it is safe and effective.
Okay.
The federal appeals court on Wednesday imposed restrictions on the abortion pill, though the ruling, just the one medicine, the mifepristone, though the ruling will not have an immediate effect. The U.S. Court of Appeals ruled that the several decisions the Food and Drug Administration took to make mifepristone more broadly available to women did not take safety concerns into account. And as we said, the ruling is paused for now. Now, what they're actually saying, though, Mark, this is where the logic gets really sketchy, in my opinion, because it isn't like this was a new decision. The decision was 20 years ago. And these attorney generals in Republican-led states that are very anti-abortion have brought this to the appeals, well, through the court system, and it's made it to the appeals court. So what they're saying is that there's these new laws that these states have passed, and in the what the new laws say is that women would no longer be able to obtain the abortion pill through telemedicine appointments and by mail. Patients would have to receive a prescription from a doctor and have 3 follow-up appointments in person. Not by telemedicine. The restrictions would also shorten their time period when women can take the pill to 49 days into their pregnancy, down from 70 days. So here you have a decision that was made by the FDA 20 years ago. And for 20 years, women have been taking this pill, and there hasn't been widespread ill health effects from the pill.
You'd think we'd know in 20 years.
It's become the most common way of terminating a pregnancy in the first 70 days.
So, and it doesn't seem like legislative action, you know, legislative action is necessary on this either. It's like it seems thinly veiled attack on abortion that they otherwise cannot control.
Well, exactly. But look at this. You have the legislators saying that the state attorney generals representing the legislator saying that the FDA made a poor decision based on the safety of the pill, approving it too easily, but yet you have the legislatures making the medical decision that talking to a doctor through telemedicine, like we do on so many things these days,
right,
serious illnesses, is not safe enough. And that you have to see a doctor in person and you have the 3 follow-up visits, which can't be by telemedicine either. Now, the fact that...
It's certainly not safe for the baby.
A prescription from a doctor, well, that's what the telemedicine is. They're getting a prescription from a doctor. So, that just right there flies...
Well, I think that there's some drugs... There's some drugs you can't use telemedicine for. I suspect drugs like heroin, or excuse me, opiates and things like that. So it's not like there's no basis for it. But after 20 years of use, we would know whether this drug was dangerous enough for the mother.
Because the heroin is a restricted judge. It's a drug, rather. There's already federal regulations that classify that. What is it, class 3 or class 1? I forget which. But, you know,
I don't know what the
There's a logic to that, and you can't do those, you can't ship those across state lines either. So
the point that I would make is that prescription, the point that I would make is that this is nothing but a doctor's, that the legislators are using the doctor's union that should not exist anyway against them. I don't, the vast majority of drugs shouldn't require a prescription. I'm willing to concede heroin if we're going to, if we need it to go the other direction. But I mean, I'm here in Honduras and I can buy most of the drugs that Americans can buy with a prescription. I can buy them without, because it's not dangerous, and it never was. It's just unionized bullcrap, making people spend more money to get prescriptions. This drug, and frankly 90% of them, should be available to people to buy at a pharmacy without prescription.
Okay, so, and please help me get this back on what we were talking about.
this is a thinly veiled attempt to prevent mothers from being able to use the wonders of modern medicine, a la telemedicine, to be able to get drugs that they want and need. If we are going to allow people to abort, then let's just go ahead and go after
the
main,
chop
through. What's that?
These states don't want to allow that.
I know they don't,
but
they should be honest.
That the FDA made made an improper decision. So they as non-doctors are going to make the decision.
They should just go after abortion and take the shots on their own career rather than hacking at the branches, in my opinion.
Well, all right. Anyway, one of the judges wrote that in loosening mifepristone safety restrictions, FDA failed to address several important concerns. So Judge Jennifer Walker Elrod took the point that the FDA failed to consider the cumulative effect of removing several important safeguards at the same time, regardless of the 23 years now that have passed. But the dissenting opinion, Judge James Ho, when he was joined by another judge, argued the appeals court should have rolled back the FDA's original approval of mifepristone and removed the medication from the entire U.S. market, not just the states in question.
Well, that's interesting that this guy that's kind of, has no power or particular training that we can tell, just has decided that the FDA has erred in this particular area.
Right. American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists criticized the decision as judicial activism and said it's demonstrably safe and effective.
Well, it's not safe for the baby.
Well,
when I get an abortion, I demand a dead baby.
I think we would argue even the definition of a baby that 49 days.
All right.
70 days.
You can argue if you want.
Is a fetus, and barely a fetus, is an embryo, really.
You should go argue with these guys. It sounds like they want to dance around the definitions of things. Go have fun with them.
Well, while we're dancing around the definitions of outcomes of sexual activity, another cause that has gained traction is getting rid of sex education, which will surely cut down on the number of abortions. the Mormon Authority, not content with the efforts they've made to get the groomers, a.k.a. teachers, out of the schools, or to get the pornography out of libraries, want to get sex education restricted. Now, I want to point out, because we may not come back to this, when they first passed the, poorly euphemized, euphemized, Don't Say Gay Bill in Florida. They said it was just for age appropriate, that would only be up to third grades, that some of these gay education, not educating to be gay, but educating about gay issues and homosexual activity and things like the fact that there's a diversity, the LGBTQ aspects of the spectrum of sexual diversity wouldn't be appropriate for people up to third grade, which is where a lot of people got on and was like, you may have a point there. Well, once they passed it, though, then the Florida did it all the way up to 18 in high school. So they get their foot in the door on the third graders, and then they say, well, no, let's not talk about it at all. So when some of these things that I'm going to say in the Moms for Liberty saying, we just want to tweak this a little bit. Although they don't say use the word tweak. They talk about it. Moms for Liberty held its annual summit in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Some include a session called Comprehensive Sex Education, Sex Ed or Sexualization. And it was led by conservative education activist Kelly Shinkowski, who, by the way, I don't want to read verbatim here all the way down. Her qualifications is she's an English major. She has no experience. She is a home educator, but she has no sex ed background as far as her education, her activism, or her ability to speak as authority on education. Anyway,
a graduate of the Manatee County school system, I will say that I got very little myself. I mean, I understood the reproductive system as it worked, and we got some little gelatinous testicles that we could fish around for testicular cancer, and that was about it.
That's more than I got.
Well,
I did it about 15 years after. Testicles in our health education class.
I don't know if they found testicular cancer by the time you got out of high school.
Well, maybe those testicles are still floating around Manatee County. Anyway, Kelly Shinkowski said that she strongly objected to the concept of consent being included in sex education. Consent.
Okay.
That people... Well, let me just go on, because we're going to run out of time here. Charlie, teaching kids about consent is counterproductive and leaves children vulnerable to sexual exploitation. Kids are often taught to be obedient, and to teach kids consent is a shift away from really strong teaching, and it's okay to have those really strong boundaries and to say no, because not always do kids have the faculty to strongly say no. So isn't the idea of consent the idea of saying no?
The ability to say no. I would say that this is everything that every public school advocate and teacher deserves. Is this that if you're going to advocate for public school, you're advocating for the average parent to have their opinion. And that's a problem. If you met the average people, just remember, half of them are dumber than that. So, no. I mean, don't send your kids to public school. This is the problem.
There you go. Yes. Where is everybody going to send their kids? Just to like a neighborhood school?
Are we talking about in one fell swoop?
Anyway.
My guess is that there's a much larger percentage of Americans not sending their kids to public school post-COVID than there was before.
All right. Kelly continued, teaching kids activities on how to consent to sexual acts when the laws in our state may prevent them from consenting to some of these things. And we know the laws keep kids from having sex. It's beneficial to say no and to have those boundaries. She also goes on to say sex ed should only include, highlighted the days when sex ed only included safety prevention, birth control options, and how to prevent sexually transmitted infections and viruses. She criticizes comprehensive sex ed.
I don't think it should be that. I think it should be reproduction only. This is how the reproductive system works.
You don't think...
Figure it out from there, kid.
Taught how sexual diseases are transmitted? How to prevent that? I mean,
that doesn't sound like biology to me. That sounds like some kind of medical instruction.
Oh, Mark. And then she also wants... It has a problem with a lot of programs because they don't recognize LGBTQ people and relationships... as without treating them as abnormal. So she wants those people to be brought out in the curriculum as abnormal.
Burn them! Burn the witch!
The idea is very much to remove or get away from that concept. She also complains that they're teaching critical race theory in sex ed. It's all interconnected and integrated. And they're teaching social-emotional learning as well in sex ed. And then Social emotional learning, this isn't her words, this is a side note, focuses on developing critical thinking, emotional management, conflict resolution, decision making, and teamwork. Well, that's where Moms for Liberty are. And we haven't even gotten to the last topic that I said we were talking about, and that is African American or Black history being removed from Arkansas schools as an AP course. That will no longer happen too, following the Florida model as far as removing that for AP.
Well, I don't think Florida removed it. They just the claim was is that they wanted to make sure the curriculum was fair or something like that.
They didn't think that it met the Florida legal standards is what they said.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you think the government's sufficient, by all means, allow it to educate your kids. If you don't, then why in the world would you do such a thing?
Anyway, as I see, the Florida did ban that curriculum from the high schools.
Okay. Well, ultimately, wasn't it the national whatever organization? I thought that was
the College Board is the
College Board
people that develop the AP curriculum courses that allow students to get college credit for passing the exams.
Right, and they wouldn't bow in some way, and so the state and they went head-to-head, and, you know, whatever happened.
Well, Mark, we've got another week in the can. Maybe that's the wrong euphemism also.
Nope. It used to be the right one.
Another week's show in the can. Except it's not in the can. It's in the little digital files that we have stored away somewhere. Yes. You wouldn't even...
Some magnet folder.
Mark, I will talk to you next week, and I'm sure there will be more important news for us to discuss. Have a good week, Mark.
Always fun.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.